Hallelujah. Glory to God. You are welcome to your daily faith boost, your daily energizer. I believe you're happy to be in this Friday edition. Yay! Friday means a whole lot to us here because, like I get to say, Friday leads into the weekend. And then the weekend, yes, you get to catch up on a whole lot of stuff, including the Word. All right, you could now, yes, you might have to catch up on a bit of work, family stuff, laundry, maybe events and all, but hey, you could also just set out an extra 1 hour, an extra 45 minutes, an extra 2 hours, maybe even 6 hours of your time and just binge on the Word. Glory to God. Just binge on the things of the Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So, yep. We are dealing here with the 23rd Psalm, all right? And it's just been amazing. So the psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't it beautiful that we could sit with the 23rd Psalm like this? As in like this, all right? And it's so amazing that while we maybe just give, a week, which is for us Monday through to Friday, to the things we're learning here, we could go on. So much to learn, so much to digest, so much to see from God's Word. Please maximize, all right? Praise God, praise God, praise God. All right, so our key here is the fourth verse. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So even though I walk, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil because he's with us. So please remember, we said that on Monday, we walk through the valley of shadow of death. We walk through. So even though we walk through, we don't camp there, we don't die there, we don't have our energy snuffed out there, we walk through. Hebrews chapter 12 and the second verse of Hebrews 12, right? That's Hebrews 12, 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and now he sat down at the right hand of God. So Jesus did not go to the cross. He went through. The cross was a process. For Jesus, that was a deep, dark valley, okay? He's never been separated from the Father. He himself is the very righteousness of God. He himself is God. And then he would now have to take upon sin and the Father having to turn away from him, no matter how many less teeny bitty number of days he might have been, they've never, ever being separated. So you could imagine why in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, wow, I wish this cup could pass from me. So Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. For the joy set before him, endured the cross. So child of God, please put that in mind. Even though you walk through, even when you walk through the valley, it might seem deep, it might seem dark, it might seem deep, it might seem dark. You weren't meant to stay in the valley. You walk through it. And in the name of Jesus, you're coming out better. You're coming out stronger. Now there are times it seems the Lord leads us. All right. And in that leading, all right, that seems to be uncomfortable circumstances. Someone says, no, I think when God leads me, everything goes smooth. Well, not all the time. If you look at the case of Paul the apostle, yes, of course. All right. God already, Jesus already told him he will suffer very many things for his own sake. So Jesus led him, all right, for instance, in Acts 16, and then he cast out a demon from a little girl. He ends up in prison. But you remember how it happened or how he ended? All right, Paul and Silas at midnight prayed and sang praises. Prison doors open. the Philippian jailer ended up getting saved with his entire family. And I believe that's where the Philippian church started from. So they could have said, oh, this is all a mess. What's going on? No, they only went through. Yes, it was a number of stripes. Yes, they were chained in the innermost part of a prison, but they came out better. They came out stronger. Now, sometimes we are the ones that leave the leadings of the Lord, go from it, and get ourselves into trouble. But thank God. Thank God. His mercy endures forever. All right. Bible talks about the sure mercies of David. He will bail you out. I love it when James chapter 1, the fifth verse of James chapter 1 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask from God, who gives to all men liberally, and he would upbraid not. So God will say, well, I wanted to give you wisdom. You didn't want to get it. Now you're going to trouble. Now you remember me? As in, like, you remember me? Nah, talk to the hand. God doesn't do that. God doesn't do that. God says he gives to all men liberally, and he would never say, no. So now that doesn't allow us to abuse his love. That allows us run to him when there is trouble, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So please remember, it's through, not stay in. Okay, so Hebrews says, Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, meaning he went through it. I know we wear crucifix or have them in our homes or cars. Now your faith is not in the crucifix. You don't even need to wear one. I'm saying in case, all right? But I'm sure you've seen one before. But Jesus is not hanging on the cross. I know you might have him there and then you want to remember what he did for you. But don't stop. And we have a series. Please, you could really like scroll down, all right, and find when we talked about beyond Calvary. So Jesus isn't hanging on the cross, all right? He was there 3 days and nights. And then the greatest of all the victories is all about those, you know, the death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and the sitting of Jesus Christ. If he didn't sit, the work was not complete. Please understand that. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till the enemies become a footstool. So that's still the process. So we should also, if we want to, have pictures of him sitting, the sitting Lord. And then you put yourself like one tiny dot somewhere, all right, in his heart, because there will be many dots, I would assume. All of us members of the body of Christ in the totality of him. Glory to God. All right, talk for another day. But James now tells us in James chapter 1, verse 2, count it all joy when you go through diverse temptations. Count it all joy when you go through, because you're going through. I'll say that again. You're going through. You're not sinking in it. You're not drowning in it, child of God. You are going through. Amen. All right. You are going through. It's deep. It's dark. It's eerie. It's icky. You are going through. You were built for this. You were made for this. The greater one is on your inside. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. King James says, there has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able, but with the same temptation, right, will create a way of escape that you will be able to bear it. Did you get that? So God is faithful. God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able to handle. Let me read it now from the Amplified Classic, all right? Should I do Amplified? Okay, Amplified Classic. Let's do that. All right, it says, for no temptation. So it says trials, all right? No trial regarding as enticing to sin. Regarded as enticing to sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads, as taking you, overtaking you, and laid hold on you, that is not common to man, that is no temptation or trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance and that is not adjusted or adapted to belonging to human experience and such as man can bear. But God is faithful to his word and to his compassionate nature, and he can be trusted not to let you be tempted and tried and assayed beyond your ability and strength of resistance and power to endure. But with the temptation, he will always also provide the way out, the means of escape to a landing place, that you may be capable and strong and powerful to bear up under it patiently. So no matter how tough it is, now, have we found ourselves slip and fall and, you know, get up, build your strength, keep moving. Another type will come again, you shrug it off. You say, how did you do that? Because you're not wallowing in a mess of a mess. No, you get up, you go. You get up, you go. You get up, you go. All right. So no matter what it is happening to you, God says, I checked it. You are able to handle. Oh God, I messed up the last 3 times. You are able to handle. The greater one is on your inside. Child of God, you are only going through. All right. You're only going through. You were not built to live in it. You're not built to sink in it. You're not built to drown in it. So don't let those emotions drown you. Did you get that? Don't let those emotions drown you. Don't let those persecutions drown you. No, 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 no. Don't do that. Psalm 34 verse 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. You are going through it. You're coming out of it. Oh, it's tough. It's financial. You are coming out of it. And the way to come out of it is to agree with God that you're coming out of it. The way to come out of it is to say what God is saying. If you say, oh, it's getting big, it will get big. If you say, oh, I'm just hopeless, you will start being hopeless. But if you say, in the name of Jesus, I'm not moved by what I feel. What I feel right now is ugly, but I choose to be moved by the word, and I declare that my path is a shining light. Or you say, according to God's word, I declare that I have abundance. I enjoy favor in this ugly situation. You speak the word. Is it just like that? It's the word. Proverbs chapter 18 and the 21st verse says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it will eat the fruit thereof. So what do you want? I want things to get better. I want things to just get better. I want things to just get better. I wish I could assure you that things will get better when we cry. I wish I would assure you that things will get better when we really throw tantrums and get into mood swings and become very emotional. I wish I could tell you that. But Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Did you get that? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Ephesians chapter 6 and 10. Be strong in the Lord, not in yourself. I can't take it anymore. I know. I know. I know. So don't try to take it in your strength. Be with people around. Listen to teachings like this again and again. And it will remind you, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the power of his might. Did you get that? Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. So remember this. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. The Lord will deliver him out of them all. So you are the righteousness of God in Christ. So what you're facing right now, God says, hey, I'm getting you out. I'm getting you out. I'm getting you out. You're only going through. You're only going through. Allow me read the 91st Psalm from the 14th verse. I'll read the Amplified Classic here. 91st Psalm from verse 14. It says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, all right? Because, all right, did you get that? I skipped that part, but that was the important part. It says, because he set his love upon me, all right? Well, not just the only, but one of the things I want to see, but still another one in 15. Because he set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. So God is assuring you, all right, of deliverance, of rescue, of safety. Because he set his love upon me, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he knows and understands my name, has a personal knowledge of my mercy, love, and kindness, trust and relies on me, knowing I would never forsake him. No, never. 15 now. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Of course, you know, 16. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So God says, I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you. I will honor you. I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you. I will honor you. I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you. I will honor you. I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you. This is God's word to you, assuring you that you are not going to sink in this matter. No, you're coming out stronger. Did you get that? You're not sinking in this matter. You are coming out stronger. So I says, okay, so I'm getting the point. I'm coming out. It takes faith. And that's all looking at faith and fear. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. Why? Because that fear is only trying to come to paralyze your faith. Did you get that? Fear would only come to paralyze your faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and the 17th verse. All right. Paul says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. All right. Our light affliction, the challenges, all right, that we're facing, the things we're going through, persecution and all right, is for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which we see are temporal, and the things which are not seen, they are eternal. So whatever you're going through is temporal. It has a short lifespan. Did you get that? Whatever you're going through is temporal. It has a short lifespan. I'll say that one more time. Whatever you're going through is temporal, child of God. It has a short lifespan. And please, I need to add this in the lessons we're learning. Fear is alien to us. Fear is alien to us. Now, when we allow fear, all right, it neutralizes our faith capacity to express itself. And walking in the reality of all the promises of God takes faith. Don't forget what we said. Was it yesterday or when now? All right. That fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Fear wants to find expression, neutralize your faith, weaken your ability to walk in the reality of God. I mean, maybe you even were speaking so boldly and then you entertained a doubt here, a thought there. Maybe it might not happen. What if it doesn't happen? And then the fear begins to cripple your capacity to boldly speak the word. You who were confident a couple of days ago, or maybe last week, suddenly you're not even bold enough to speak God's word. Oh, but the pain is growing. Oh, the feeling is there. Oh, I think it's getting bigger. Oh, I think this is happening. Oh, I think things are getting worse. I feel the money really might not come. I feel the thing will be due and then they will check us out. I think. Yeah, you're going to keep thinking it. And all these things, remember, fear opens the door to the law of sin and death. Fear acted upon produces sin and death. We said that yesterday. But faith acted upon produces the law of the spirit of life. Proverbs 18:21 again. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. So you've got to speak life. You have to speak life. Don't entertain fear. Resist it. We ended with that yesterday. There are three things you need to do. Stop it. We saw that Jesus immediately, all right, turned and said to Jairus, don't be afraid, only believe. All right? Immediately, he didn't allow it. Don't give that thing a thought. Secondly, we said resist it. All right? You might need to battle it again and again, put your foot down. And thirdly, we said reprogram yourself. Because you can't just keep speaking empty words to fear and then you're not filling up yourself and tanking up, all right, with the word of God. Hope you understand the slang, tank up. I mean, to fill up your tank. Tank up with the word of God. Tank up. Tank up on God's word. Fill up your tank. Glory to God. All right? Fear is alien to us. 2 Timothy, all right, chapter 1 and the 7th verse says clearly there, God has not given you the spirit of fear. Did you get that? God has not given you the spirit of fear. If God hasn't given it to you, then where'd you get it from? All right? God hasn't given it to you. So there's no fear in your spirit. You do not have a spirit of fear. Did you get that? There's no fear in your spirit, you do not have a spirit. So fear is alien to us. But someone says, I know a lot of Christians, but someone could even boldly say, almost every Christian I know gets afraid. That's because we've fed ourselves like normal people, exposing our minds to what they're exposed to, sitting down with the kinds of news they listen to, and then we're not listening to news for us. Unconsciously, we could be so current with what's happening on the media, we're not current with what God is saying about our lives. Fear is alien to us. In Romans chapter 5 and the 15th verse, the Bible says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
So, I mean, right now, I'm so excited that this generation is, you know, referring to God as Abba much more. But I would love to believe that we're having a revelation of the Spirit that is crying, Abba, Father. Please look at the verse again. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption is what we've received, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So this is a revelation of the kind of spirit you have and the one you don't have. So this buttresses Timothy. Fear is alien to us. We do not have a spirit of fear. When it tries to get to your mind through your eyes, your ears, your thoughts, you know, you say, I refuse you. Like Ken Hagin said very many years ago, you might not stop a bird from flying over your head, but it can stop the bird from building a nest on your head. You can't say no. You will not build a nest. So thoughts might fly. You say, I resist you. I resist you. I resist you. Did you get that? You resist it. Fear is alien to us. This is exciting, all right? And you and I have got to put our foot down on this. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Maybe you need to say that like 3, 4, 5 times. I haven't received the spirit of bondage again to fear. I'm not a slave. I'm not in fear. But I have received the spirit of adoption whereby I cry, Abba, Father. I have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. I have received the spirit of adoption whereby I cry, Abba, Father. I have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. I have received the spirit of sonship, all right, whereby I cry, Abba, Father. I have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but I have received the spirit of adoption whereby I cry, Abba, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. This is exciting. And this is, you know, it's a blessing. Glory to Jesus Christ. Fear is alien to us. Please also understand that he didn't, listen, he didn't give you a spirit of fear. All right. And to double this all up, he delivered you from fear. In Hebrews chapter 2, I'll read the NLT. All right. Are you ready? So in Hebrews 2, the 14th verse of Hebrews 2, NLT says, because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Did you get that? I'll read it again. Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. Only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Now, Luke 15. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. Again, only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. And the biggest fear really is the fear of death. Nobody fears a snake bite. Nobody fears bullets. Nobody fears accidents. Nobody fears cancer. All them fears only lead to the fear of death. You fear the snake bite because death. You fear cancer because death. You fear, you know, guns and bullets because... So the main fear is the fear of death. And Hebrews 2, write this down, please. Hebrews 2:15 says, only in this way could he set free all who their lives, all right, have been slaves, all right, who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. New King James says, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. See how many times we're hindered to make decisions, hindered to do things, hindered all because of a fear of death. Even if it's a fear of the death of a relationship, death of a business deal, death of a status in life, you know, you're just afraid. If I do this, they might say this. If I do this, they won't like me. It's just a fear of death, something dying, you losing something. But Bible says he has released, oh, hallelujah, those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Passion Translation says, by embracing death, Jesus sets free those who live their entire lives in bondage to the tormenting dread of death. I'll take that again. By embracing death, Jesus sets free those who live their entire lives in bondage to the tormenting dread of, you know, death. So the moment he died, guys, and resurrected, he rescued us. He rescued, we're free from death. We're free from the fear of death. We are. That's why it's alien to us. He hasn't given us a spirit. He didn't resurrect with a spirit of fear for any new creation. It is alien to us. It is alien to us. All right? If you read Deuteronomy 28, 56, 57, it talks about fear as a curse of the law. The person will go to bed at night afraid and wish it were morning. The person comes, you know, is awake in the morning wishing it were night. It's a curse. According to Deuteronomy 28. All right. Even when I know you grew up, you know, maybe you might have grown up saying all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Then you quote Revelations 21. But have you read the whole of Revelations 21? He says the fearful. In fact, he begins by saying the fearful. Now, because you're born again, you're not going to hell. But I'm saying that place in the Bible that we get to use to say all liars will have their part in the lake of fire starts with saying the fearful. The fearful. All right. So fear is not of us. Fear is of the devil. Fear has a torment, and you, child of God, are free. Glory to God. Glory to God. You, child of God, you are free. You're free from the torment of death. You're free from the bondage of death. Hallelujah. So you're coming out stronger. You're coming out better. Oh, but things are tough. You're coming out better. You're coming out stronger. You're coming out victorious. 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 Psalm 66 and verse 12. Hallelujah. It says, you know, let me read the King James here. You know, the King James of Psalm 66 and verse 12. It says, though you caused men to ride over our heads, we went through the fire and through the water, but you brought us out into a wealthy place. You brought us out, all right, into a wealthy place. CV says, into a land of plenty, all right, a place of abundance, Amplified says. All right, CEB says you brought us out into freedom. No matter what you've been through, all right, you're coming out victorious. We're going to end today, all right, with Isaiah and the 43rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. Are you ready? Isaiah 43 from verse 1. But now, O Jacob, let me switch and do King James, all right? But now thus says the Lord that created you, O Jacob, and he that formed you, O Israel, fear not. Did you hear the word of God? Fear not, for I have, you know, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, neither will the flame be kindled on you. Are you saying amen? For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom. Ethiopia and Sheba I gave for you. Since you are precious in my sight and you have been honorable, I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not. Verse 5, for I am with you. I will bring your seed from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give up. All right. And to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. This is a blessing, child of God. This is a blessing. Read this again and again to yourself. No matter what I go through, I will come out better, come out stronger. Verse 2 again says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle on you. All right, you know how people just dust their shoulders and say, I came out, I'm better. Glory to God. Amen to Jesus. I believe you've been blessed. It's just wonderful hanging out with you again. I need to sign up, but don't forget, it's Sunday coming up again. Influence of the Spirit, 5 p.m. Nigerian time. Hook up, spread the news with everybody. Just download, share. Let this be a blessing to someone close to you. Let this be a blessing to somebody, you know, somewhere around you. All right. So we'll see you again on Monday. Drop comments. Let me know how you're doing. Have a very, very beautiful weekend. Bye.